But notice the next line. What does it say? And they praise the Lord. They praise the Lord. Obedience to Jesus bursts forth worship. Obedience to Jesus bursts forth worship. Amen. That's what we're going to do. Yeah, do you promise? I promise. Pinky swear. You know what? Let's go. No. Listen, we are Christians. This is what it means. This is what we're going to do. In Christ.
Welcome back to In Christ Radio and our Hope Restored series as we continue our study through Nehemiah. So far, the enemy has attacked through ridicule, intimidation, fear, and discouragement. Now he changes strategies once again. Today's message is from Nehemiah chapter 5, verses 1 through 13, titled, The Struggle Inside the Wall. Satan couldn't stop the work from the outside, so he tried to weaken it from the inside. Financial oppression, selfishness, and broken fellowship threatened to destroy what God's people had worked so hard to build. Nehemiah refuses to ignore the problem. He confronts sin with courage, calls for repentance, and restores unity before allowing the work to continue. This passage reminds us that healthy walls are meaningless if the hearts behind them are unhealthy. And God is just as concerned with the condition of our heart as He is with the progress of our work. External opposition may slow God's work, but internal compromise can undermine it. Lasting restoration requires both truth and love. Today, let's ask, is there anything in your heart, resentment, selfishness, pride, or unresolved conflict that is weakening what God wants to build through you? Let's join Pastor Ben in Nehemiah chapter 5 as we go through verses 1 through 13 in today's lesson, The Struggle Inside the Wall.
But I think a great acronym is THINK, right? Think before you speak. And THINK stands for true. Is it true? Is this helpful? Is this inspiring? Is this necessary? And is it kind? THINK. Is it true? Church, listen. We have to be careful with how we act or react, because it might come from a place that has nothing to do with that whole situation. But the point I want to make is that anger was from something else that I hadn't dealt with. Those triggers in our lives, those things, I think are great opportunities to go before the Lord and say, okay, there's still something you need to work out in me. So we want to make sure, is it true? Where is this coming from? Is it helpful? Is what I'm about to say going to be helpful or hurtful? Well, they deserved it, whatever they deserve. No. Is this helpful? Is what I'm about to say inspiring? Is what I'm about to say necessary? And am I saying it with kindness? Kindness. Nehemiah says, listen, after praying about it, I've got to talk to the man. He said, each of you are exacting usury from his brother. He said, you're abusing them. You're charging interest. Why are you doing this? You're putting them down. Notice Nehemiah's reaction, verse 8. He says, and I said to them, according to our ability, we have redeemed our Jewish brethren who were sold to the nations. Now indeed, will you even sell your brethren? Or should they be sold to us? Then they were silenced and found nothing to say. You know what Nehemiah says? He says, remember where you guys came from. Let me remind you. And I think what a great way of, by way of application for us, right? Do you remember where we came from? And may I remind you, none of us were born saved. It doesn't matter that your mama went to church and she was pregnant with you. You were not born saved. Even if she had you in the church, we're not born saved. We have to go through our own, and we have to remember. If you've ever heard Pastor Soph's testimony, it was 30 years that he was lost. And those 30 years is what shaped him to be a godly man of God with a heart for people. And it's a work in progress, but I've got to remember those days. Oh, that was me. That was me. Remember where you came from. Remember when you were first a baby, when you first got saved. I don't know if you remember, but you brought all your baggage in with you. Into your walk with God, you brought them all. And the Lord started to take them one by one. Am I talking to anybody here? Because you guys are awful quiet. I love the way Paul admonishes us in his letter to the Corinthian church. Listen to this. Look at the way Paul puts it. I'm going to read it to you. Listen carefully. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. He says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God?" He says, "Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, homosexuals, sodomites, nor thieves, covetousness, drunkards, revilers, extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed. But you were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God." Isn't that a great place for an amen? Amen. Let's look at it again, guys, because there's a funny story to this. You go, what's that? I want you to notice that in verse 11, Paul says, "And such were some of you." And I didn't get one amen. Nobody was like, "Amen, yeah, I remember." But I like the next word. It's "but," right? And there's four. There's one but, two buts, three buts, right? There's three buts here. Now, what's funny about this is that after Sunday's teaching, I kept saying "but," and my granddaughter thought I was talking about a butt. And so she kept cracking up every time I said but, and then she's like, "Oh, you mean no." And so it's funny because here it is. He says, but you were washed. Yes. You were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. May I exhort you at this moment and myself to take a moment and remember where you came from so that you're able to minister and love and serve people that are not where you are. There's a lot of broken people and we're called to love them. We're not called to condone and, "Hey, thumbs up on that sin, bro," but we're called to love them and say, "Hey, listen, that path, and maybe you didn't go down that path that they're going down, but there's some wisdom in your walks with God. There's some wisdom that you've gained over the years. There's great wisdom in walking with Jesus that you're able to share." And this is what he's saying, remember. And what we have to remember, church, listen to me, we all start at the same place. We all start at the same place. And so if you're here tonight, you go, "Ben, I've been walking with Jesus 35 years, or you've been walking with Jesus 35 minutes, we've all started at the same place. Paul tells us, listen, do not be deceived, guys, neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, homeless, sodomites, thieves, covetous, and drunkards, all these things, which were some of you, you guys were just like that." And you go, "Amen, that's exactly who I was." But that's not you anymore. But then God's going to bring people in your life. God's going to bring people in your life that are some of these things. And this is the heart of our church, guys. The heart of our church is, listen, we want to see people saved. I want to see them saved. I want to see them walking with Jesus. But the heart of our church is discipleship, man. Everything we do is to get them to grow in Christ, to have them to walk victorious. And this is why we have a new believers class. This is why we have a discipleship class. This is why in the bookstore I told Eva, everything is discipleship. I want them to grow. This is the heart of our church, because God's going to bring those people that are these things. So remember where you came from. Back in Nehemiah, it says in verse 9, Nehemiah says, "Then I said, what you are doing is not good. Should you not walk in fear of our God because of the reproach of the nations of our enemies?" Guys, what you're doing is not good. I love Nehemiah, and I need to take a lesson from Nehemiah's heart. It's confronting with love, and he's going, "Guys, listen, you can't be doing this. Should you not walk in fear of our God because of the reproach of the nations, our enemies? I also, he says in verse 10, I also, with my brethren and my servants and lending them money and grain, please let us stop this usury. Here's what you can write down, and I think it's such a cool verse. Nehemiah shows leadership by example. Leadership by example. Nehemiah says, look. I'm not oppressing my brother. I'm the one lending them. If I have food, I'm giving them food. I want to be a good example. Listen to me, Christian. Your goal is to be a good example to all those around you. What are we doing in the dark that God will expose in the light? Let us be good examples. This is the word of the Lord. Nehemiah, here's a leadership by example. Well, what should we do, Nehemiah? I mean, he says, please stop. Let us stop the usury. Look at verse 11. Restore now to them, notice, even this day, their lands, their vineyards, their olive groves, their house, also a hundredth of their money and the grain, the new wine, and the oil that you have charged them. You know what he's saying? He's saying, don't wait. Restore unto them. Restore to them even this day. And here's the modern version. He says, get it right with them. Get it right with them. You've been overcharging them. You've been taking their houses. You got their land. You're the restitution. Restitution. I love this, and I have it underlined in my Bible right here, guys. I said, even this day, and I have it underlined. Why? Because you can write next to it now. Do this now. Don't wait. It's not one of those, hey, I need to pray about it. No. Nehemiah says, look, it's time to do this. It's time to do this. Restore to them now their lands. Give them back their vineyards. Give them back their olive groves. They need to make a living. We're all in this together. Why are you doing this? And you could see the struggle within the wall because everybody wants to build the wall. They want to have that security, but you have some Jewish brethren at this point going, I'm going to take advantage of this situation, and I think I'm going to make some money. No, I'm going to get it from me. I'm going to get mine, is what he's saying. And that's not the case, because Nehemiah has and is the right leader. So the question is, hey, man, time to get it right. Let's go. Here's what we're doing. Let's go. You ready? Notice verse 12. So they said, we will restore it, and we will require nothing from them. We will do as you say. Before we move on, think about what they just said. Okay, you're right. But my question to us is, do we have that same heart? When we're confronted with God's word, with an opportunity for us to obey, are we quick to go, yes, Lord, amen. I'll do it right now. Or do we struggle with the Lord? That little struggle. Oh, Lord, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we'll do it. We'll do it, man. We'll do it. And you know what? We're going to require nothing. We'll do what you say, Nehemiah. We'll do what you say. Here's something that we could think about. Nehemiah gets angry, prays about it, thinks about it, confronts them, and then they repent. You guys see that? And I'm wondering, why were they doing this in the first place? Before we talk about he's going to call the priest and everything, let's dig a little bit deep on this. Oftentimes, we as believers act like the Jewish believers who are oppressing their brethren. Wonder how long we could get away with this. Nobody knows. And then we're confronted, we repent really easy. We're like, oh yeah, you're right, I'm sorry, please forgive me. Oh, I didn't realize this. The heart I want is not to be in that position in the first place. The heart I want is not to go, oh, now I'm busted, now, you know what? I've been over here messing around, and the leadership had to confront me, and once they confronted me, I'm like, oh yeah, you guys are right, my bad, let's go. I don't want to have that heart. I want to have the heart that's going, I want to do what God tells me to do before I'm confronted. Maybe they just needed a reminder. Maybe they got caught up in the world, and they're like, man, and Nehemiah's like, hey, no, this is not how we behave. This is not how we believe. This is not who we are. Remember, Christian is Christ-like. And the question to you and the question to me is that, are we Christ-like? Are we mistaken for Christ in the way we behave, in the way we speak, and the way we conduct ourselves, and the way we drive? This is what he's saying. Nonetheless, these guys say, we'll restore it, we'll give, you know what, we'll require nothing from them, we'll do as you say. He says, then Nehemiah says, then I called the priest. Why? And required an oath from them that they would do according to this promise. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Hey, Pastor Ben, I need you to come to the house. Why? These guys said yes, they're going to do an oath, but I don't trust them, so you need to come over here, and they need to swear in front of you. That's what he's doing. He's calling the priest. He goes, hey, listen, you've made this promise that you're going to do this. You know what I wrote in my notes here, guys? Don't you love the conviction of the Holy Spirit? It often brings us to what we call first-time obedience. First-time obedience. Man. You know what? The Bible tells us, let your yes be yes and your no be no. The Bible tells us to be believers and of integrity. And whatever we're going to say, you know what? I don't need the priest. You don't have to. My word is good. Whatever I said, that's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to do. And they said, well, we'll give it all back. And we won't make any more demands on them. And we'll do everything you say. And so notice what he says. I called the priests and required an oath from them that they would do according to this promise. Then I shook out the fold of my garment and said, so may God shake out each man from his house and from his property who does not perform this promise. Even thus may he be shaken out and emptied. And all the assembly said, amen, and praised the Lord. Then the people did according to this promise. What does Nehemiah do, guys? A great leadership example is he gives them a visual illustration. He shook out the fold of my garment and said, may God shake out each man his house and his property who does not perform this promise. And thus may he be shaken out and emptied. I don't know if you caught this, but it said all the assembly. It wasn't all of them said amen. But notice the next line. What does it say? And they praise the Lord. And they praise the Lord. Obedience to Jesus births forth worship. Obedience to Jesus births forth worship. Amen. That's what we're going to do. Yeah, do you promise? I promise. Pinky swear. You know what? Let's go. No. Listen, we are Christians. This is what it means. This is what we're going to do. This is what we're going to do. Listen, they took this oath seriously. They took the oath seriously. And I was thinking about this. So many people don't take things in life seriously. I mean, many of them could have said, amen, and then went by their way and says, no. Hey, Ramon, come here. You owe me money. Let's go. You know what? You haven't paid. Okay, you need to sell your kit. That's a hypocrite. You took the oath seriously. Sometimes we need the Holy Spirit to confront us and to convict us of the things that we're doing. It's a beautiful thing. Oh, at the time, I don't like it. Ugh. But it's a beautiful thing. Now, let me just say this to you. By the way of the Holy Spirit never puts a guilt trip on you. The guilt is from the devil. But the sweet conviction of, hey, this is what we need to do. Let your yes be yes. Let your no be no. This is what we're doing. This is what we're doing. And then let it burst. Let that confession come out of your mouth through your lips. And then let that lead into praise. But notice the next verse or the next line. Then the people did according to this promise. You know what that is? That's obedience. They were obedient. Guys, Nehemiah literally confronted them. We see that in Scripture. He came out and said, hey, you need to knock this off, guys. But we have his word. And I want to be obedient to that. Not because somebody's making me, not because, oh, you know, God's going to punish me if I'm not obedient. I want to be obedient because I love the Lord. I love the Lord. I want to be obedient for that, just because. As we close our Bible study tonight, I want to close with this statement. Max Lucado spoke, and he shared two statements that a friend challenged him with. Max asked the man, "What is the greatest lesson God has taught you this past year?" And the man replied, "God has shown me, number one, it's not about me, and number two, it's not about now. It's not about me, and it's not about now." Remember what Jesus said, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." Amen. Father, we thank you tonight for your word and the truth in your word. We thank you, Lord, for Nehemiah's great leadership example. We thank you, Lord, that you're moving in our midst. And Father, we would ask your forgiveness when we hesitate to obey, when we're doing something that we know is contrary to your word, when we're charging interest to our brothers or oppressing them or whatever it might be. Lord, help us to lead by example, God. Help us to be men and women that have your heart. Lord, we ask now that you would fill us with your spirit, Lord. Father, that you would search our hearts right now, that they would be open and bare before you. And Lord, the things that we're doing, not doing, the things that we're saying or not saying, the things, whatever it might be, Lord, if there's any conviction in our heart, that we would come clean tonight, that we would repent and we'd walk out of here a brand new person. We thank you for the words that are so truthful, Lord, as Nehemiah was dealing with this, Lord. And maybe right now, Lord, you're doing a work in every one of us, Lord. I pray for those that are watching on Facebook and are going to watch on Facebook. I pray for those that are listening via podcast. I pray when this comes on the radio, Lord, that, Lord, you would use it mightily and powerfully. We thank you that we can walk through this book and pull the lessons you have for us. May we always be reminded of that commandment, that new commandment, that refreshing commandment, God, where you tell us to love one another, to forgive one another, to not be selfish anymore, but to be selfless, to help a brother up, Lord, to offer a hug, a smile, an encouragement. Lord, you'll help us, Lord, to think before we speak, Lord, even if we're angry. Lord Jesus, the response here in the text tells us that Nehemiah had a relationship and he loved people, because Nehemiah could have come down really hard on them. And I thank you. I thank you for your Holy Spirit by way of conviction in any area of our lives. And so, God, as we worship you, Lord, I pray that you would do work with us. It's in your name we pray. Amen. In Christ.
Next time on this Hope Restored series, we'll continue through Nehemiah chapter 5 and meet a leader who will not only preach integrity, but live it. In verses 14 through 19, we'll discover that the greatest leaders don't lead for personal gain. They lead by personal example, on the episode titled, One Great Example. That brings us to the end of this episode of In Christ. Thank you for tuning in as we go verse by verse through Nehemiah. Now, Nehemiah was a cupbearer to the king in the Persian palace and is in the same time of Ezra. Nehemiah leads the third and last return to Jerusalem after the Babylonian exile, and his concern for the welfare of Jerusalem and its inhabitants prompt him to take bold action. Granted permission to return to his homeland, Nehemiah challenges his countrymen to arise and to rebuild the shattered wall of Jerusalem. In spite of opposition from without and abuse from within, the task is completed in only 52 days, a feat even the enemies of Israel must attribute to God's enabling. By contrast, the task of reviving and reforming the people of God within the rebuilt walls demands years of Nehemiah's godly life and leadership. So be sure to join us next time as we continue to dive in to the wonderful character of Nehemiah, how he cared about traditions past, the needs of the present, but also the hopes for the future. We look forward to seeing you in the next one. If you missed any of today's show or would like to listen to it again, check out our website, inchristradio.com. There you can find a link to this show, along with this past week's episodes. There is also a link to the Calvary Chapel Lubbock podcast with a whole library of great Bible teachings and teachers. Have a prayer request? Submit yours safely and privately at inchristradio.com. I would like to personally invite you to one of our services. We meet Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m., and Thursdays at 12 for noonday prayer. Did you miss any information? Our website again is inchristradio.com. Remember, wherever you are and whatever you're doing, God wants to be a part of your life.